sins, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Psalm 86, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86, 11. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation, first chapter, Revelation 1, verse 6. Revelation 1, verse 6. You'll notice that we've made a change. The word priest should be plural. Revelation 1, 6. I've discovered something about you folk, and that is that no matter what I say and how much the Greek I give you, what you really love is to hear us talk about our love stories. During the break, even though I didn't talk to a lot of people, I found out that you folks really enjoyed that. That's very good. I thought I would begin today by presenting you a little challenge. And we're going to read the scripture, have a moment of prayer, and then I'm going to give you a challenge, what I call anti-biblical principles. And you'll just take some of this down and be able to analyze it over coming days. The scripture is on the screen, back of the bulletin, Revelation 1, 6, and made us a kingdom of priests to thee, God, and his Father. To him is the glory and the might, and unto the ages of the ages. Amen. Let's pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity which is ours, once again to focus our minds upon these magnificent truths. You've given to us blessings. Oh, how wonderful the blessings are. And we are the recipients of your grace, and we thank you for it. Grace in salvation, grace about which to live each day, and the grace that one day will take us to our eternal reward. And so we're thankful today for the fact that we are privileged to be here with people who love our Savior Jesus Christ and who desire to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. We're here today to learn again what your word teaches us about how we're to act as members of the royal family. And so we pray that we'll be able to do that in these moments we're studying today. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to put this on the screen because it is a little bit different than what we're studying right now. But I'm calling this anti-biblical principles. You do what you want to with this, but you might want to take these notes down. I'm going to take this off so that it won't bother us. Anti-biblical principles. Gnosticism denies that God is knowable. Agnosticism denies that God is knowable. Rationalism denies that he is incomprehensible. Idealism denies that he is transcendent. Existentialism denies rationality in his relationship with us. Now, I know that this is probably a second session. This is probably a little bit more difficult on your brain. But that's okay. It would be good for you to take these down and think about it. I want to say just a word or two about it before we move back into our study. Agnosticism is the word that means God's existence is unprovable. Agnosticism is belief that it is impossible to know whether God exists or not. Agnosticism. I'm just giving you a quick little definition so that that'll help you as you analyze this in this coming week. The second point, rationalism denies that he is incomprehensible. Rationalism is the belief that thought and action should be governed by reason. Rationalism is the belief that thought and action should be governed by reason, which is saying reason is the source of truth. This is saying that reason and logic are the primary sources of knowledge and truth. Now, you were not able to take all of that down, but you might want to look up the word rationalism. The rationalism is the belief that thought and action should be governed by reason. Reason is the source of truth, they say. Reason and logic are the primary sources of knowledge and truth. Rationalism denies that he is incomprehensible. Incomprehensible means beyond understanding. You have to really give this some thought. The third one on the screen is idealism denies that he is transcendent. Idealism is what we would classify as belief in perfection. In other words, the people who hold this view would say perfection is an attainable goal. Perfection is an attainable goal. I'm sure you know what your life is all about. And I'm not giving you an opportunity to give a testimony of the difficulties of your old or my old sinful nature. But belief in perfection is interesting, isn't it? In other words, idealism says perfection is an attainable goal. Idealism denies that he is transcendent. The word transcendent means superior, beyond limits of experience, or unmatched, unequaled. These are thoughts you need to chew on. The last one on the screen, existentialism denies rationality in his relationship with us. Existentialism is an interesting word, interesting philosophy. It says an emphasis upon finding oneself, an emphasis upon finding the meaning of life, human experience. Existentialism says that personal choices form the essence of life. Oh my. So we have four thoughts, anti-biblical principles. Agnosticism denies that God is knowable. Rationalism denies that he is incomprehensible. Idealism denies that he is transcendent. Existentialism denies rationality is his relationship with us. I trust I've given you enough time to write these down. Being a member of the royal family, and that's what's so beautifully presented in this verse of Scripture, says that we have a royal position. And there are many, many scriptures that emphasizes what it means to be a member of royalty. These are just a few. What does it mean to be a member of God's family, a member of royalty? It means that we are the recipients of a heavenly calling. That's Hebrews 3:1. Being a member of the royal family, an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 1:9 says we are part of a holy calling. A holy calling. These are beautiful, magnificent expressions in God's Word about what we are as members of the royal family. Did you folk get that this morning in the first session when I said, when God looked down upon Jesus at the cross, and he said, in essence, Son, all of the emphases of the past, there's been family relationships. But as I look upon you, I do not see a family. I want you to have a family. The family that I want you to have is made up and will be made up of every born-again believer from the time of Pentecost unto the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ. Every born-again believer. That's you and me. every born-again believer from Pentecost until the rapture. Son, I don't want you to be without a family. I'm going to give you a family. For a while, we're going to call that family the body of Christ. But eventually, that body is going to be called the bride. And that bride is going to be made up of every person who is the recipient of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit that has placed the individuals into the family of God. A holy calling. 1 Peter 2:9 says, as a member of the royal family, we've been called out of darkness into light. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 5:10, we're called unto His eternal glory. Can you see how precious and wonderful each of these verses would be? Number 5, Romans 8:29, we're conformed to the image of His Son. Conformed to the image of His Son. Can you really understand? Can we begin to comprehend what that means? To be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, to be like Jesus, the songwriter says, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey. From heaven, from earth to glory. All I ask, to be like Him. Couldn't be without a wife, I tell you, boy. She just helped me. You want me to sing it? No. Out of darkness, unto His eternal glory. Romans 8:29, conformed to the image of His Son. The next one is 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Into His kingdom. Into His kingdom. And that's the meaning. You are able to get that in Revelation 1:6. You are able to understand that God has a magnificent plan for us in the future to rule with Him in resurrection bodies. It's presented to us in this verse. And He says, what I want to do, I want to give you that which will qualify you to be successful while you're on the earth. And I want to give you an understanding of that which will qualify you to be the ruler that you ought to be in a resurrection body in the future. You've got to get that thought into your mind. And then, 2 Thessalonians 2:13, the position is for salvation. 1 Timothy 6:12, unto eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:9, into fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with Christ. Number 10, 2 Thessalonians 2:14 and 15, we share Christ's glory. Now, would you like to know what the Bible teaches about how we're to act as members of royalty? I'm going to put on the screen some things that I believe that are helpful. How royalty should act. The first thing is we ought to understand that we have been made saints. What you ought to do, and you can think about this, whatever your first name is, just put saint in front of it. Now that really puts you in a different position. Now, some of you don't think you're all that saintly, and I'll have to agree. But whether you think you are saintly or not, we've already emphasized the fact that God has placed you into His family. And as a result of that, we're bound together. Look at these bounds here. We're bound together in what is called the body. We're bound together in what is called the body of Christ. That's the meaning of royalty. The second thing is, we're bound to the privilege of advancing to maturity. This doesn't mean that everyone stays with it until they get there. We're going to see the reason in a few moments. But we're bound to advance to maturity. In other words, God has set up the the system in such a way, the program, so to speak, in such a way that He wants every believer to get off the low road, to get off of the gravel road, to get off of the dirt road, get off of the muddy road, and get on the high road of God's grace. In other words, God has set that up for us. We may or may not take advantage of it. We're bound to the privilege of advancing to maturity. The third thing that I put on the screen is we're bound so that differences are overshadowed in the areas of the non-essentials. Now we're getting down where you and I live. We're bound so that the differences are overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials. There are many things that are essential, and there are many things that are non-essential. And what you and I must understand, we're going to see this as we move along in this study, we must understand that as we advance, our concept is that we draw conclusions about what is biblical, what is right, what is godly, what is ordained of God, and what is the opinions of mankind. What are the non-essentials? So we're bound so that the differences are overshadowed in areas of the non-essentials. The next thing is we're bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to the insignificant. Now the key point that I want to point here is tolerance. How tolerant are we? We, as we advance as a member of royalty, we're bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to those things that are the non-essentials. A lot of people jump on the bandwagon on the non-essentials, and they are of the opinion that if you don't see the way they see, you're just eternally destruction bound. I was trying to decide how I should say that. If you don't see the way I see on this, you're just on the wrong track. And so there's no tolerance. But the royal family is bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to the insignificant things. But also, number five, we're bound so that there is intolerance relative to the essential biblical truths. So there's a tolerance on the one hand, there's an intolerance on the other hand. Now, if we know what the biblical truths are, we should have an intolerance in relationship to sticking to those truths, but we have the proper attitude to the individuals who don't stick to those truths because we are aware of the fact that they have not advanced as much and they need to have love and kindness rather than criticism and being pushed down. Now, did you get all these points? You've got to get this before you get the next ones. Royalty demands inflexibility to essential biblical truths, doctrines of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential biblical subjects, doctrines of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. Now, once you get that down, we'll get into the parentheses. But let's look at number two again. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential biblical subjects, doctrines of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. Now let's look at the parentheses. Variance can become error, and misrepresentation can become apostasy. In other words, we're to distinguish between biblical absolutes and various ways that these absolutes can be applied. I'm getting down where you and I live. I'm trying to let you see that we are to distinguish between biblical absolutes and various ways these absolutes can be applied. But notice the beginning there in that parentheses, variance can become error, and misrepresentation can become apostasy. So let's take a look then back up at number two. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential doctrines of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. Number three, this is going to get to be fun in a minute, so if it's not fun for you so far, just understand that we've got something fun out in the future. It's in this hand. Number three, when royal members learn truths together, their applications will not always be the same. I've learned that with you folk over the last 39 years. And I love you just the same. It's always amazing to me to hear what some of you say about certain things that I've said, which in reality I didn't say, but you thought I said it. And that's okay. There are times when I say things that probably are not exactly what they should, the way it should be said. And so I'm not claiming to be perfect in all the presentations. So I just want you to understand that there's only one perfect person here today, and that's not the preacher. It's the Lord, okay? Y'all got that? When royal family members learn truths together, and we're learning truths, applications will not always be the same. So if I hear you, or if you are heard by someone else, or you hear someone else present their thoughts, you may or may not agree with their applications. And that's okay. Number four, the more mature generally, the more accurate will be the applications. Doesn't that make sense? In other words, the more we study God's Word, the more we learn God's Word, the more we receive the mind of Jesus Christ, it's logical that our applications will be more accurate. Now, I told you it's going to get funny, and here's what some of you are going to do. I need to cover this up because you'll jump to my last point before I get there. I'll just cover it up. It's too funny. Cover up this last one. Well, you can't even see that one. The more advanced believers must be tolerant of a new believer when there is inaccurate application. If you're talking with someone who hasn't been a believer very long, or they haven't grown very much, and they begin to share things with you, and you just jump all over them, you verbalize them into the ground. That's real sweet Christian, isn't it? To do it that way? Don't do it that way. The more advanced believer must be tolerant of a new believer when there is inaccurate application. In other words, if a person hasn't advanced, or if they're saying things to you that you realize that they don't have it together, don't try to get them straight just in a few seconds. Love them. Be kind and considerate of them. And have the right attitude toward them. Because if they desire to grow in advance, and if they desire to know God's will for their lives, if they want to know God's Word, love them and help them to continue their spiritual advance. Be tolerant. Number six. This gives the new or immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the mature believer had when he or she was immature. You see, you have to understand the fact that you haven't always been where you are right now, wherever that is. No matter how advanced or lacking of advance, wherever you are, just be aware of the fact that there are other believers who perhaps have advanced more, and there are believers who haven't had advanced as much as you have. So this gives the new believer or the immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the mature believer had when he was immature. Number seven, in God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directing spiritual food, fuel in the soul of the growing believer will guide the believer in making correct applications. This is so logical. This is so normal. This probably shouldn't even be presented. And yet I realize that we all need to think about it. In God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directing spiritual fuel, spiritual food in the soul of the growing believer will guide that believer in making correct applications. I'm giving you time to look at this. I know that all of you are anxious to see what that last point is. But I want to wait. I want to give you plenty of time. I want you to understand that I've analyzed this and I've thought about it in relationship to what is God's plan for the believer. How are believers to act? What are you and I to do as a born-again believer advancing on a daily basis? What do you consider a sin? And what do you consider a sin in other people's lives that you're criticizing because you don't have that particular sin? Isn't it wonderful? I'm so glad that I don't do what you do. I mean, I'm just so good because I don't do what you do. I mean, I can see what you do and what you're doing. I just don't do and I wouldn't do and never thought about doing. And I'm just telling you, I'm just really glad that I don't do what you do. Oh, really? Now, which sin is really better? Well, whatever that sin may be that that person is doing is probably a lot less criticized by the Lord than your gossip or your criticism or your maligning or your backbiting. Do you folks hear me? Okay, are y'all ready for this last point? You couldn't wait, could you? Here it is. Man. Different levels of ignorance will not change the absolute truth of God's Word. Isn't that fantastic? Different levels of ignorance will not change the absolute truth of God's Word. Do I need to stay on that one point for about 10 or 15 minutes? Can you just imagine how fantastic it is when you realize that God has a plan for us and His plan is for us to advance? Let's go over those quickly. How royalty should act. Understand that God has made us a member of royalty. I have to tell you this, and I say this to myself, and you've heard me say this before. If we line up a beautiful, magnificent banquet table of delicious, exquisite foods, and over here on the side we put a garbage pail. Back on the farm, we called it a slop jar or slop bucket. And I invited you folks to come and dine. And you just passed right on past all this and went to the slop container and reached down in there and started getting you handfuls of slop. Do you get the picture? That's terrible, isn't it? We've been invited to dine at the banquet table of royalty. And you know what happens to us? When we're disobeying God, when we're fulfilling the energies of the old sinful nature, we're participating in the things that are not in keeping with God's plan, we're doing that. We're just going over to the wastebasket, the slop container, and we're participating. We are to understand that we're saints, bound together in what is called the body of Christ, bound to the privilege of maturity, bound so that we can see the difference, that the differences overshadow the areas of the non-essentials, bound so that there is tolerance of application relative to the insignificant. Bound so that there's intolerance relative to the biblical essentials. Royalty demands rigid inflexibility to essential doctrines of God's Word, while flexible as to the application. Number three, when royal members learn truths together, their application will not always be the same. Number four, the more mature generally, the more accurate the applications are. The more advanced believer must be tolerant of a new believer, or a believer who hasn't grown very much when there is inaccurate applications. Number six, this gives the new believer or the immature believer the same opportunity of learning as the mature believer had when he or she was immature. In God's own timing, not ours, the Holy Spirit directs spiritual fuel, into our souls, the souls of the growing believer, so that we can make proper decisions and make correct applications. And different levels of ignorance will not change the absolute truths of God's Word. In other words, if we don't know what God's Word says, we can't blame God, because God has left us His Word. The only thing we can do is blame ourselves for not getting what He has designed for us to have. Next Sunday, Wednesday night, we'll talk about the future of royalty, but next Sunday, we're going to go to Revelation 1:7. You talk about a powerful verse of Scripture. I have some unique things to share with you on Revelation 1:7 next Sunday. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful today for the challenge of Your Word, realizing that You have a desire for us to act like we should as members of royalty. We've been reminded today of some things that we need to think about, of how we're to have the right attitude toward individuals, how we're to utilize God's Word, how we're to believe the truths of God's Word, and have a right spirit and attitude toward individuals, no matter what their concepts and ideas are. We pray for those today who hear the message who yet have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May this be the point of time in their individual life when they will realize that God loved them so much that Christ died and was buried and came forth out of the grave and ascended to sit at the Father's right hand, and He will save if they'll only believe. We're thankful that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.